Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
People say, well, the Bible's full of errors. If you cannot trust your Bible, you've got nothing to base this on. This is the record of what supposedly happened or didn't happen. And the day it's not true, then where are you going to get your information? There has to be some absolute truth. There has to be something that substantiates what we believe. And that's why the Bible is so important.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. As we begin the month of December, we want to focus on Advent and what it represents. So each week, we'll light a new candle and give you the opportunity to join with us in this Christmas season. This first week is about hope and what the prophets foretold of the coming Messiah. It's also a month of a very special matching gift opportunity for you to take advantage of in your faithful support of Richard, his messages, and this ministry. I'll share more for you at the end of the program. But let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Virgin Record. This is kind of a perplexity a little bit for me. I actually did a little research here on this whole virgin birth thing. And let me go over here and read you some stuff. Well, no, you know what? Let me read you this first. Madonna. She's the one with like a virgin. That's as close as some people get. She said this, it is difficult to believe in a religion that places such a high premium on chastity and virginity. And then Thomas Jefferson, which this was kind of an amazing quote, the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus by the supreme being in the womb of a virgin will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. You say, well, Thomas Jefferson? There's a lot of people in our history who believed in God and all this stuff, but don't be thinking everybody believed it. And there were a lot of intellectuals, a lot of people who were not people of faith, who had a whole nother perspective on things, and not everybody believes this. And quite frankly, if you actually, and I don't want a show of hands here, but if you are actually crazy enough to raise your hand if someone says, do you believe that Jesus was actually born of a virgin? Okay, now you're yeahing me out there, but do you know how crazy that really is to say that? Because you're dealing with an impossibility. And I think in our culture, we have songs about the Virgin Mary and, you know, Mary this, Mary that, and so we just kind of let it ride. You drop this story in some other culture and tell them that this is what you believe, especially if they got brains, they're going to look at you and just go, what are you talking about? No one can be born of a virgin. But then they throw that out and then they say, yeah, but no one can be swallowed by a large fish. No one can be raised from the dead. And it is hard almost with Christian people and religious people to get us far enough away from what we believe to actually look at what we believe and go, this is unbelievable. Literally unbelievable. But here's part of my question. What is the big deal? And what's kind of been going through my head recently is, why did Jesus have to be born of a virgin in the first place? Why couldn't he have just shown up, taken a bullet, and gone back to heaven? You know, just come down here, boom, appear, make yourself a body, get in that body, just appear, Jesus, if you believe the creation, which is another bunch of crazy stuff. People say they believe that, but I believe it. You know, I can't prove it. It's just, I look around and see what he did. I just think that's how it happened. So you go back to creation and God takes some dirt and, you know, does the first model man and breathes into this stack of mud and boom, cells. I mean, it's unbelievable. So if he can create Adam as a mature man and he's just alive, then why can't he make himself a body, you know, be in it and live? What is the point of the being born, of the living, growing up, of the suffering, of all of the stuff he did? When all you had to do was show up and forget the suffering, you say, well, but did he have to suffer? Yeah, there's scripture to that effect. But wouldn't it, you know, just pop him in the head. There weren't guns back then. Hit him over the head with a club. Okay, then he's dead. We got him dead and he's going to bleed. So we got blood and then put him in a grave, get him raised from the dead. And we don't have to spend all this time talking about this. Here's part of what's going on. God elected to send his son born of a virgin. And I'm going to go back here and let's look at some of these verses. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. I promise you it's in there. Some of you know these verses by heart, but pay attention anyway. Isaiah chapter 7. And if you've never seen this stuff or you've never opened a Bible and read it for yourself, then where does all this come from? Now, part of what makes the virgin birth and these things in the Bible so amazing is that they were predicted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before they ever happened. So you say, well, you know, I don't believe in all this. if you just run the numbers on it, the statistical probability of something happening, being said that it will happen back here and actually coming to pass hundreds of years down the road, at some point it's beyond luck, because it's over and over and over in the Bible. From his birth to his crucifixion, there's all kind of stuff covered. So in the middle of Isaiah chapter 7, let's jump in verse 13. It says, "Then he said, 'Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign.'" This is how you're going to know something unbelievable is happening. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, if you read that in Isaiah back in the day, or a priest had gotten up and read that, and you heard those words, you'd say, okay, he's going to send a sign. This has never happened before, probably never happen again. Whenever this happens, it's the deal. It is a sign that whoever this child is must be completely different. A virgin birth, in the proper sense, is differentiated from a miraculous birth, and that is the birth from a mother who is a virgin, and no male seed in any form is involved. So what you're dealing with is a closed womb and no male involved. So how do you get that done? And when you read the scriptures, we'll see this in a minute, I'll show you how it gets done. But I'm telling you, you cannot say you believe this stuff and not exercise a tremendous amount of faith. And if you don't really know, you say, well, yeah, I believe that. And I say, well, why do you believe that? You say, because my mama told me that's what happened. It's going to take more than my mama told me to stand up in an environment out there in the world today where people go, whatever, dude, you're crazy. You know, it didn't happen. Now, by the way, and I think this is, you could substantiate this biblically, if Jesus is not born of a virgin, I don't need him. So you say, is this a technicality, a minor thing? It is not a minor thing. It was prophesied that this is what would happen, and it is what happened. And Mary still holds the virgin record, you know, for children born to a virgin in one sense of that word. All right, so we've read the Isaiah passage. That's what's supposed to come. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. It's also a part of this prophecy, not specifically the virgin part, but who this child is, and even the sex of the child is determined. He is a son that would be born. And this is in Isaiah 9:6. And there are songs written about this, and maybe you've heard these verses and say, I just never knew where it was. Well, here it is. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So again, mentioning this kid that will come and turns out to be Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus himself. Go to Matthew chapter 1. And by the way, I am reading you the virgin record. And people say, well, the Bible's full of errors. If you cannot trust your Bible, you've got nothing to base this on. This is the record of what supposedly happened or didn't happen. And the day it's not true, then where are you going to get your information? There has to be some absolute truth. There has to be something that substantiates what we believe, and that's why the Bible is so important. Go to Matthew chapter 1. You can read through the whole genealogy here in the first part, but let's jump down to verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together," meaning before they had been intimate, we got kids in the room, so we'll just leave it at that, "she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." And if you want to go back and do some research, what should have happened to these two people is they should have died. Because if Joseph is the one betrothed to her and he hasn't done anything with her, how is he going to explain, I got a pregnant fiance on the borderline wife, and that day that was pretty much a done deal. I have not been with her, but she is pregnant. Okay, so who has been with Mary if she is pregnant? And if you go read in the Old Testament what happened to people like this, if you were out in the country, the technicality on a situation like this, if you were out in the country and you ended up with someone and you had sex and you weren't married, then the girl wouldn't be killed because she could have screamed and no one heard her. But in town, the technicality was, you'd both be stoned, I'm pretty sure of this. You can go back and verify it, because she could have screamed, and if she didn't scream, then she's at fault somehow. So it's kind of interesting, But Mary is in a very, very, very bad spot. Sometimes when God asks you to do something on his behalf, it can cost you. So you think, oh, I'm going to become a Christian. It's going to be all good. It may be all bad to the finish line. You say, well, I'm not signing up for that. Then stay signed up for hell and see how that works out for you. See, we think, yeah, but I don't want to suffer in this life, even though I might have joy and be with Jesus forever in eternity, forever, 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 forever. You can't even say time in terms of forever. But we say, well, I don't want any pain. I don't want to go through any problems here. You know, it's like, pick me. No, don't pick me. I'm like, God, do not bring me up in your meetings. I've got enough problems without being some kind of poster child for, you know, though I slay him, he'll trust me stuff. So you say, well, how cool Mary got picked. The second Mary realized what was going on with her, the anguish, the pain, some faiths make way more big to do about Mary than they should. But it is okay to make a big deal about Mary. She is a big deal. This is an extraordinary chick. And that is a Greek term. It's just not used a lot. You know, Mary is this young girl, mind her own business, found a man who loved her, and as it turns out, you know, he's not going to throw under the bus for this, and an angel shows up and explains to him what's going on, so it turned out okay. But from then on, it's not okay. You cannot explain, I got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. A lot of girls try this. I don't know what happened. We were watching TV, and I'm pregnant, you know, so however this stuff happens. So keep reading here. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly, send her off to her aunt's house or wherever these things happen. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now he's got to believe this. Even if an angel shows up, if you are not a person of faith, that is not going to be okay. You say, well, if God showed up and spoke to me, or an angel showed up and spoke to me, then I'd believe it. Jesus has come to the planet, left a written record of what happened. You are surrounded with Christians and you still don't believe it. You're probably not going to believe it if someone came back from the dead, because they did and you still don't believe. You just have to get to the place and go, I can't explain it. I can't figure it out. Joseph has an angel show up, explain to him what happened. He says, okay. Again, what is said here, do not be afraid. Mary, your wife, conceived in hers of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, usually when God taps you, and we've talked about Mary here, Mary got tapped to be the surrogate, the carrier of the godchild. And then to raise him to an age and then watch him suffer and die and be buried and raised from the dead. It's a great story. It's a hard, hard story for her. But then Joseph, on the other hand, has to sign up to marry her, put up with the grief. She's pregnant. And how'd she get pregnant? Do the math. This shouldn't have happened. Joseph, now you are an accomplice in this somehow, because this Holy Spirit thing ain't washing, you know, at the coffee shop. We know what happened here, so you've got that heat on him. When God taps you and says, look, I am going to use you, it is probably going to cost you. Are you in? You say, well, that's not, nobody's asking me to do this. You know what? We're getting asked to do this every day. He says, look, I'm asking you to believe some stuff. I'm asking you to live a certain life. I'm not asking you to be holier than thou. I'm not asking you to be self-righteous, to be judgmental. I'm just asking you to live the Christian life in such a way that people see you and know you know me, and you may get rejected. You could get spat upon. And in some places in the world, you can get killed. Are you in? And we get in a conversation and we duck. Keep reading. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. So all this stuff of Mary getting chosen, she's a virgin, she's betrothed, even, you know, and there's so many ways you can take this. Don't just get engaged to any old fool out there, you know, for Christ's sake, literally. well, he loves me and, you know, whatever. You know what? Ask God if this is the person you're supposed to be with. Because if Mary had not chosen the right guy, she would have been in trouble. She was the right girl, but part of the reason she got picked to do this job is that God knew who she was and that she wouldn't pick some fly-by-night guy. She picked some guy that had faith, that would be a leader and would sign up with her to raise his child. You say, well, we're just going to get married, be happy, and have some kids and see what happens. And you know what? And that's exactly what's going to happen. You're just going to see what happens. Have a plan instead of this chaos we have. So she picks this guy. It all rolled out this way. Why? Because it was fulfillment of something spoken by the Lord through a prophet. And then it's quoted here in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, here's one of the things I like about the story. I've run the traps, and God could have done it however he wanted to do it. He foretold that it would happen in the virgin record, which is the scripture. And then the plan was, before the foundation of the world, I will go down there, and I will go through the same process they go through. I'll be in a womb. I'll go through that birth canal. I'll get born. I will grow up, I will live, I will be tempted in all manner of sin as they are, yet without sin. And if he had just kind of blown in on the scene, pop, taken a bullet, shed his blood, boom, I'm out of here, good to see you guys, I'm out. I'm having trouble praying to that Jesus. But when I start getting hit with stuff, and you start getting hit with stuff, and I say, Lord, I know you never crossed these lines that I've crossed, and I know your dad, you know, and without being disrespectful here, he's just too big for me. And I know you're all the same thing, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, but Jesus, I got to talk to somebody who's been here. Do you see this mess I'm in? Do you see what I've done or what's happening to me? Do you understand? And I think there's this resounding, not experientially, maybe not, he's screwed it up like we do, but it's nice to know somebody's been down here, smelled it, tasted it, seen it. And then when he goes back, he is sitting on a throne next to a father, and the book says he lives to make intercession for us. He didn't just go up there and sit down and quit. Since the second he sat down, he has been talking to God, the Father, about us, about me. Say, we need to do something down there. They got a situation down there. And I don't get all that, how he sits up there. I mean, even if it's just everybody in this room, we have to say, okay, everybody on three, ask God for something. How's he keeping up with that? We'll believe a computer can do it, but not God. So I just believe it. I don't understand. People ask me stuff, and I say, I don't know. I don't get it. I believe it, but I can't explain it to you. And I'm good with that. The older I get, the better I am with that. Go to Luke chapter 1. Let me just read a little verse, a few verses out of here, and then maybe we'll set it down. And this is from her side, Luke 1:26. Now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, which is also very important. She didn't just pick the right guy. She picked a guy who was of the house and the lineage of David, which is all part of this too. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, there's no way I can explain how this was said. It'd probably scare the average teenage girl, young girl to death. But rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Of all women, you are blessed. You got picked. Now, I am never going to be picked to carry a baby like this, and there's not a woman on the planet who will ever be picked to carry a baby like this, but I've tried through the years to explain this. You say, well, that's a one-time deal. In a sense, it is not. The same thing happens to anyone who becomes a Christian. God himself comes to us and says, rejoice, highly favored one. God has decided to live in you. And you will carry the Son of God. Because he is not just with me. He is in me. And that makes a difference. And that's what it means to be a Christian, is that he lives, he moves, he is alive inside of you. And when you go to the right and he says, no, we're going over here, you feel movement. He moves and says, no, we're going over here. And you say, no, we're not, we're going over here. He says, okay, we'll go over there then. It ain't gonna be pretty, but I'll ride with you. And then you get over there and go, we should have gone over there, right? He said, yeah, I took a step that way and you took a step that way, but I'm stuck in here until you yield your will to my will. We're not going where I want to go, and that's where you need to be going anyway. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You're not in trouble. He likes you. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? It's not possible. And this helps me too with Mary. She's chosen, but she's still got the same question anybody would have. It's not possible. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. That's why he's the Son of God, because he is not just you housing him. He is God's Son, because it's the Holy Spirit that will cause you to become pregnant. And how that happened, I mean, you can have nuclear microscopes on her womb and boom, in a moment, Jesus is in that womb. Never ceased to be God, left a throne in heaven and materializes as a microscopic organism in this woman. It is the most astonishing thing. And I believe every word of it. Because I got nothing without him. Now, this same thing may be happening to you today. The Holy Spirit himself, you sense, is literally overshadowing you. And there is a baby to be born. But the baby is you. The child is you. And he has planted a seed inside your heart and given you some faith to believe and chosen you. The Bible literally talks about this, picked you. And now you must somehow respond. Then Mary said to the angel, we'll keep reading. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One is to be born of you and be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son. It's not a virgin birth. It's a miracle birth, though, because her womb is barren and you know it. In her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, here's my suggestion to you, if you don't know anything about having him living inside you, is to say, behold, the maidservant, the manservant, whatever you are, of the Lord, let it be done unto me. I get it. I see it. I am so tired of fighting you, God. I am such an idiot. I have tried my whole life. I keep hearing about you and Jesus and all this stuff, and I still belligerently, proudly, foolishly run off and do my own thing. God, I am so tired of it. I'm sick of my sin. I'm sick of my willful disobedience trying to prove that I can make it happen without you. So let's do it your way. I see you. I understand. I get it now. You've opened my eyes, so I'm in. Whatever seed was planted, I want to be born a second time. My first birth didn't cut it. It got me in a body and it got me some physical life, but I have zero spiritual life. I need a life. I need a forever life. Change me. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I see why Jesus came. He lived, he died on a cross, shed his blood, buried, raised from the dead, and he did it all for me. I am tired of saying no thank you. The answer is thank you. And it's Merry Christmas to me finally. I encourage you to get some of that. You say, well, how do you do that? What do I have to do? What do I have to say? Do I have to get dressed up, cleaned up? It's just now in your heart, and he'll do it. I promise you he'll do it, because that's the only reason he came.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And this entire month of December in our Advent programs, we have been intentional to share the message that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. These Advent candles that we've lit each week lets us shine that good news to a world that needs to hear it. And you can help us shine that bright light of Jesus. We have an incredible opportunity to share with you on how you can join us in this mission. Because of a very generous gift from a faithful donor, every gift you contribute to this ministry is going to be doubled. Yes, every dollar you give to keep the ministry of Richard Ellis on the air is going to be doubled. We all love getting and giving gifts at Christmas, and this is how you can send us your generous financial gift to bless us and help us to continue sharing about Jesus in our mission. Go to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the link to send us your very valued gift. Again, that's richardellis.com. You can also send us your gift by calling 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. I can't tell you just how much that will mean to Richard and to this ministry. You can make our Christmas complete by giving your tax-deductible gift that's going to be doubled to richardellis.com or by calling 855-6-RICHARD. One last time, that's richardellis.com or call 855-6-RICHARD. So until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for your generous gift. Thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry. And we'll see you again right here on Richard Ellis Talks.